The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the first edition of the Midweek Punt here with William Hill, Dave Kellner in the studio alongside Lee Phelps to look ahead to the Champions League football this midweek and of course the Europa League as well with Tottenham and Hull in action on Thursday evening. First of all, good afternoon to the man, gentleman, sitting next to me, Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very good. Enjoyed the first weekend of Premier League action.
Well, I did as well. And we've got to start off with the naps, haven't we? Because we had Lee Struggs on from Footy Accumulators and he put up a winning nap. Liverpool half-time, full-time. I beat the market. Yes. And listen, I wouldn't usually at this point blow my own trumpet because we're so early on in the season. I'd usually wait until I'd landed four or five consecutively before doing that. But I beat the market this time round, and that 21-20 shot on both teams to score in the Man U game went off at 10-11. Just, happy,
you know,
about that.
You know, just put in for 1 second. I know we've changed the format and everything on the punt this season, and there's some changes. But one thing I thought worked very well was only discussing the naps on a Friday or Thursday when we recorded it. I mean, you know, there's still games to be played in the weekend. I don't really think it serves any purpose discussing it now, does it? Really? Do you?
Okay, so we'll leave that one to Lee.
I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
There's no, because you know, some people maybe only listen at the weekend.
Yeah,
you know, so it's a bit messy,
people,
isn't it?
And people won't
know about twice.
Who let the naps travel down
no,
yet? Will they?
No, and then you know, there's might not be interested just yet.
They might not be.
So, yeah.
You know what frustrates me most about last weekend's punt podcast?
Go on. You got a list or
no? This is top of the list.
Okay.
It was the fact that I pronounced Louis Van Gaal's name, Louis Van Gaal, on the punt.
Yeah, incorrectly.
And then we went outside. Well, hang on a second. We went outside into the office.
Yeah.
And to paraphrase, you said something along the lines of, "Christ, I've got you on this podcast. I've given you this big opportunity."
Yeah.
And this man's come in, huge manager, managed at many big clubs around the world. He comes in and you can't even get his name right on the punt podcast. That upset me a little bit because I always believed it was Louis Van Gaal,
right,
not Louis Van Gaal.
Yeah.
And then I was watching the match of the day, and you did this out in the office in front of everyone as well. I was offended by that.
Okay.
And I was watching match of the day and thinking, I've got this wrong. I can't believe I've got this wrong. Then Harry Lineker.
Who find it's called.
Who must know about these things.
Yeah.
Obviously, there'll have been people from the BBC in his ear about this. He pronounced it Louis Van Gaal, and I immediately, obviously fuming by now, on the phone to you.
Yes, fuming.
Yeah, yeah. I was fuming by then,
and I responded by saying "Heta life."
You did. I was annoyed by that. So
yeah,
that's air my frustration here.
Well, exhibit A I would like to present to you is from the internet. You know, keep me going, Linekers. This is from the internet.
Louis Van Gaal.
I've had a look into this because I don't want to be wrong either. And a lot of people do say it with a strong G, Louis Van Gaal.
Yes.
Now, it turns out it depends kind of where in the Netherlands you're from and what dialect you use. But the BBC themselves have got an article on the website which says it's actually pronounced, just to prove we're both wrong, like a KH, like in Lock in Scotland. So it's Louis Van Gaal. So from now on, I'd like you to say Louis Van Gaal.
I don't even think I've got the vocal
spitting,
call
though,
to do that.
Look, let's just call him LVG.
LVG.
Or LVG.
LVG. I like it. Let's move on to this week's midweek football then, because we have a couple of matches in the Champions League to look at and two in the Europa League as well. And we'll start off with Besiktas versus Arsenal, which is the Tuesday night game, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Huge match, Lee, from a financial standpoint. Besiktas 4-1 to win it. The draw 5-2. Arsenal in the betting at 8-11. Last year, Arsenal started the Premier League season with a 3-1 defeat at the Emirates against Villa in front of a dissenting crowd, who were baying at that point for Arsene Wenger's blood.
Mm.
This time round, there were still, incredibly, from the reports that I've read, murmurs of discontent as they moved into that last 10 minutes against Crystal Palace, only level at one apiece. Aaron Ramsey, you mentioned him on last week's podcast. He popped up after Jason Puncheon was sent off late on. He popped up with a winner, and Arsenal fans sent home happy.
Yeah, happy enough in the end, weren't they? I mean, yeah, no one will remember the fact that Arsenal only won 2-1 and took them a late, long time to do it. It's just 3 points, isn't it, on the board? I'm sure they're happy enough. Yeah, interesting, Arsenal. I mean, it's funny because they looked really fluid in the Community Shield, and then Arsene Wenger said in his press conference on Friday, you know, we're not quite ready for the season. We're a bit undercooked, effectively, is what he was saying. And they looked like that on come Saturday night. Lucky to get the 3 points in the end, but they got them, as we said. They've got a remarkable record, you know. The last time they failed to qualify for the tournament, the Champions League, was 1997-98. They've qualified for the tournament via the playoffs in 6 of the last 8 seasons, which is what this is, obviously. The record in that stretch of games is this. Arsenal have won 12 out of 12 playoff games and managed to score 5 or more aggregate goals in 5 of those matchups, which is a staggering record when you think about it. I mean, generally, you're getting, you know, the teams who are in this stage are lesser teams. For, you know, obviously, in the Premier League, you know, the top four are obviously quality. The fourth place team is obviously a very good team and probably much better than most, you know, teams who are finished second in leagues around Europe. So, you know, they always do this. Besiktas are interesting. You know, Slaven Bilic is the manager. Not got the greatest record against Arsenal. I think he played them a few times, 4 times when he was a player at West Ham and Everton, and never beat them. Obviously, he loves England, a bit of an Anglophile. I saw an article in last week saying that 8 different clubs have asked him to be manager since he left. Probably even when he was Croatian manager. So he's gone to Besiktas, had a season there, finished 3rd. Amassed the most points they have in the last 4 seasons, obviously doing something right. Haven't lost at home since September the 2013, which is decent. Plenty of draws in there, though. I think that they're a good side. But this time last year, you mentioned Arsenal probably weren't as confident as they are this term. They went to Fenerbahce and won 3-0 last year. Fenerbahce went on to win the title, and they've finished above Besiktas, you know, consistently in the last 3 or 4 years. So it's a bit of a, it's not a form guide because, you know, there's a full 12 months separating it. But, you know, it's enough to go on that. They're not overawed by going to Turkey and the kind of, you know, the vociferous crowd and all that.
And one thing to comment on with regards to the match at the weekend against Crystal Palace, Yaya Sanogo started up front in that game in the belief, well, in my opinion, that Olivier Giroud's definitely going to play in this match.
Yeah.
He was. It sounds ridiculous to say it this early on in the season, but he was rested. They're looking to play him in the Champions League this midweek. Much better balance with him in the side.
Definitely.
Sanogo's a pudding, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't get it. I mean, Wenger must see something in him. But I mean, you know, Wenger's probably a better judge of player than I am. I'm going to hold my hands up and say that. But I mean, at some point soon, he's got to start delivering, hasn't he? You know, I wonder, he played really well in pre-season, but they're nothing games, are they? When the pressure's on, he loses it a little bit.
I don't understand what he gives Arsenal.
Giroud scored in that Fenerbahce game as well. You know, last year it was Gibbs, Ramsey and Giroud. Wouldn't put anyone off looking at Ramsey again. There's another curious thing about Besiktas. Against English clubs, they played Man U in 2009 in the European competition. They won at Old Trafford and then lost to them. In 2007, they beat Liverpool 2-1 at home in Turkey, lost 8-0 at Anfield. In 2003, they beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge 2-0, lost the home leg 2-0. And in 2000, they drew 0-0 with Leeds when Leeds were good, and lost 6-0 at Elland Road. So in the last 4 times they've met English opposition in European competition, they've won one of the games, or didn't get beat in the Leeds match, and been beaten in the other one.
Yeah.
It's stretching it a bit to think they can beat Arsenal at home. 8-1's fairly attractive for Arsenal, judging by their previous record.
8-11.
Did I say 8-1?
Yeah, we'd
8-1 would be amazing.
We'd like 8-1.
8-1 would be absolutely incredible. 8-11 is an attractive price given Arsenal's record and the fact that they're scoring goals. But you do wonder about the Wenger's comments about them being a bit undercooked, and they've got to travel to Turkey straight after a Saturday night game. I'm not so sure. And one thing I would like to go on is the goals. Besiktas have got a record of scoring early goals. Of the 20 goals they've scored in that run of undefeated home games. 13 have been in the first half, which is okay. But if you go a little bit deeper into it, 8 of the 20 have been in the first 30 minutes at home. So they're an attacking team, one of the most attacking teams in the Turkish league. Demba Ba, of course, was the big summer signing. Brought him in, and he scored a hat trick in the game in the previous game in the Champions League. Another player, Gökhan Töre, former Chelsea youth player. He plays on the right wing. He's been in amongst the goals as well. So I'd like to go on. I think first half goals would be interesting. I think Arsenal will set up to try and, you know, get back there with a clean sheet, obviously.
Yeah.
But as we saw with Crystal Palace, it didn't really work particularly well. It was a fairly routine goal, wasn't it? I mean, it was a flick, you know, flick header at the near post from Breda Hangeland, and it beat everyone in the Arsenal defence. So I'm going to be looking at just as a first little bet, over 1.5 goals in the first half. I think Besiktas will come out. They know they have to get something in this home game. So that'll be my first port of call. Goals in the first half. Besiktas to score 2 goals in the match is 3-1, which is interesting. I think they'll go for it. And I think they'll leave gaps. First half under over goals, 2-1 for over 1.5 goals. And with their record, as I say, very early goals, they obviously come out of the blocks flying. I think Slaven Bilic will have them up for it. Bit of a shot window for him, isn't it? You know, he's out in Turkey enjoying his time, but he makes no, in this article that I read, he made no secret of the idea that he'd love to come back to England and manage at some point. So, yeah, I think they'll be very up for it. Obviously, the usual partisan crowd in Turkey. I'm a bit cautious about the outrights, to be honest with you. I want to go with Besiktas in some form, but Arsenal's record's so good.
Yeah, a good headline offer that I like here. Aaron Ramsey to score and Arsenal to win at 5-1, if you like that. Arsenal to win and Ramsey to score at 5-1. We talked about Ramsey. His goal-scoring record's incredible. And Arsene Wenger in the press following that 2-1 win against Crystal Palace was praising him highly. He's got the aptitude to be in the right position all the time. And that's what goal scoring is all about. So I think that headline offer, if you're thinking about backing Arsenal to win in 90 minutes, 8-11, 5-1 for Ramsey to score and Arsenal to win, got to appeal.
One of the reasons I really like that, as well as his great pre-season, it's kind of mirroring last season. He scored in that game at Fenerbahce last year, as we've already mentioned. The other thing, I think, when you go away, you know, you go to some of the kind of, you know, the lesser leagues in Europe, if you like, then it's all right then defending and the centre-backs looking after the centre-forwards, but players who break from midfield, that's very hard to defend against. You know, you have to be a top team to be able to defend against the runs that Ramsey would make from midfield, and I think that's where he will benefit. You know, if you fancy Arsenal to win, then I would be more than happy. 8-11 compared to that price for Ramsey to score and Arsenal to win.
It's 5-1.
It's a great offer. Yeah. 5-1. If you fancy Arsenal to win, then I'd stick that Aaron Ramsey in there.
So best bets in this game, Lee? Best bet?
What I like most, if we're talking being safe, I think there'll be goals in the game. Arsenal, like I say, 5 goals or more in their aggregates over those 12 out of 12 wins in the playoffs. So I'd be looking at a straightforward over 2.5 just to go 4-5. Short-ish, but I like it. I think it'll land. For the more adventurous, over 1.5 first half goals. And I'm going to keep backing Ramsey to score in the game, you know, in games as you go along, because he's just in such good form. So Ramsey just to score any time for me is good enough. 19-10. Great price.
Thank you. And we move on to Wednesday night's football. Celtic, all being well, in action on Wednesday night. Recording this 12:30 on Monday afternoon. The Court of Arbitration meeting after Legia Warsaw contended their dismissal from the championship following their win against Celtic on aggregate, but they fielded an illegible player, a banned player, and Celtic lucky to be here, really, Lee.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, I tweeted about this the other day and no one could really answer it, but a little while ago Debrecen did the same thing against Litex Lovec. Similar situation, they were winning handsomely on aggregate, brought a player on with a couple of minutes to go, and the UEFA said, oh no, that's fine, because it didn't really affect the outcome of the game. I think the difference with this is the fact that the player was banned.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, I get it, and, you know, but I think it's harsh on Legia Warsaw, to be fair. The interesting thing is that I don't know what people, if people buy into these ideas, but these UEFA coefficient rankings, which dictates where people, where which players get, which teams get into European competition, etc. Maribor are actually higher in UEFA's coefficient ranking than Legia Warsaw.
Yep.
And you know, Legia Warsaw literally, I mean, they battered Celtic, tore them a new one, 4-1 in the first leg, and beat them 2-0 in the return leg. So I mean, you know, they really beat them. Maribor never got past the qualifying stage, though. So you know, it'd be something new for them. But they're a good side, you know. At home, they're pretty solid. They don't lose many games at home. They win the division in Slovenia most years. Played 5 out of 5, won 5 out of 5 so far at home, scoring 9 and conceding 3.
In terms of the match betting, NK Maribor 9-5, the draw 11-5, Celtic in the betting at 6-4. The interesting dynamic in this match, I think, is looking back at last year's Europa League. Maribor beat Wigan 2-1 at home in the Europa League last season, and then went out to Sevilla. Sevilla only beat them 4-3 on aggregate. They went on to win the entire competition last year. So I think if you look at that, you're comparing Wigan to Celtic, home field advantage for Maribor. You've mentioned in the Slovenian League, which they've won the last 4 years.
Yep.
They've got decent home form. 9-5 Maribor, the draw 11-5, Celtic 6-4. Celtic started the season with a 3-0 win against St Johnstone. I was in the studio watching the game against Dundee United. They won that one 6-1. So good start to the season for Celtic. They don't have to worry about the league. They don't.
No.
It's weird. We always come in here and say, well, they've got the concern about the league. It's difficult to balance two tournaments, but they don't have to worry about that. Celtic,
they've won the league already, haven't they?
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. I just can't get that performance in Europe out of my head. I mean, the 4-1, you know, everyone said, oh yeah, they lost their heads, this, that and the other. Fair enough. But the home leg, they still lost that too. I know it says 3-0, you'll say 3-0 on your things now, but it's actually 2-0.
Yeah.
They didn't score at home against Legia Warsaw. You know, so, look, I think there's value in that home price.
I really don't.
I can't have Celtic being the favourites in this match at 6-4. Not for me. You know, the draw 11-5 is obviously the biggest of the three, so I wouldn't, you know, put anyone off that. But I like Maribor. What I like most in this, DK, is the goal scorer markets. And I'll tell you why. If you go from the top down, Jean-Philippe Mendy is the favourite to score any time for Maribor at home, 21-10. Mendy's been a sub in 3 of the 4 games so far this season.
Okay.
Not playing regularly. Nuzmir Fadjic, who's next, is 23-10. He scored plenty last season, but has only started one game so far. Started the first game. They drew 0-0. He's been benched ever since and not really got on.
Okay.
So, you know, not a regular. Zahovic is next, 23-10. He's a kid, barely played. Roxurk, 12-5, played 4 minutes of football in the first team.
Okay.
He's on the bench. Both those players have been on the bench for the game so far. Neither have got on. Now, then you get to Marcos Tavares. He's the captain. Scored 13 in 33 last season, 12-5. Played up front with another player who I really like. And that's even further down is Agim Ibrahimi, 13-5. He's a winger.
We'll get into pronunciation again.
Yeah, let's not do that. He's scored 3 and 4 so far. He's a winger, but they're playing him right up front.
Right, okay.
So I think there's a bit of value there. Bjorn Paul Sapel, who's just in between them at 12-5, barely played either. You know, this has been priced up on a squad list without actually looking at who's been playing.
Who's in the
So your value
the
there, really, if you think Maribor are going to score, is Ibrahimi or Tavares. I'd go Ibrahimi at 13-5 because he's the one who's been playing out and out up front. Tavares a captain, you know, so, you know, Ibrahimi's also scored a penalty as well. So you've got 13-5 any time on him to score. That's where I'd be looking. The next one down on the list, incidentally, is Dare Vrsic. He's also been playing and he's also scored. Play on the left, cutting inside, 3-1. So, you know, any of those, just ignore the 1, 2, 3, 4, the top four in the market.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you get team news and they start, then that's different. But they haven't been starting in any of the games so far in the league or in the Champions League qualifiers. So I'd be looking at Tavares and Ibrahimi if they start up front as your bets, 12-5 and 13-5.
Yeah, and I do think there's some definitely some value in NK Maribor at 9-5 to win this match in 90 minutes as well.
Defensively, Celtic, I know they've started the domestic league really well, but they still conceded on Saturday, didn't they? They won 6-1.
It was late.
Yeah. But, you know, I think they'd be looking to keep clean sheets full stop. They kept a clean sheet versus St Johnston, but they conceded 6 goals against Legia Warsaw. So, I'm unsure about the outright because I think there must be improvement in Celtic, but I wouldn't be backing them at all. If I was forced to have an outright bet, I'd go the draw because it's the biggest price, 11-5. But I'm just going to be looking at the goal scorers, and I'm going to take Ibrahimi to score at 13-5.
Thank you. The next match we're going to look at is the Europa League match between AEL and Tottenham on Thursday night. 5 p.m. kickoff this one. AEL are in the betting at 7-1. The draw's 3-1. Tottenham 4-9. And Spurs nicked a 1-0 win at West Ham at the weekend. I think that's accurate as well. They did nick it. West Ham better the two teams. Kyle Norton did get sent off early, and that affected Mauricio Pochettino's setup. And then James Collins got dismissed later on. Eric Dier, a great story, Eric Dier. He went on to score the only goal in the game. Incredible debut for him. He actually went to Portugal as a 10-year-old, didn't he? Eric Dier was spotted by his PE teacher, who was scouting for Sporting Lisbon, was signed for Sporting Lisbon, went on loan to Everton, which I think... he said that improved him, and then made his £4 million move to Tottenham Hotspur in the summer, and dream start for him. Yeah. But they did really nick it, Tottenham. At West Ham better the two sides. Mark Noble missed a penalty as well, so it was a smash and grab job from Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen reports say it was a hard fought win because they had 10 men for so long and all that stuff. But I don't do fantasy football, but a mate who does he picked him in this team.
Really?
And it was like unbelievable because he scored, kept a clean sheet as well. So, like, you know,
he's
centre back,
in there as a defender.
Centre back, and then moved. I think they moved him over to full back, and then found himself up there somehow. So yeah,
he's quite versatile actually, because he has played defensive central midfield as well. So he can play a lot of different positions.
Decent signing for them. Mm. Tottenham away from home in the Europa League over the past few seasons have done really well. Only lost 2 matches in 90 minutes under AVB and Tim Sherwood. The records are very similar though. It's like the team hasn't changed all that much as they've gone along. They won convincingly in the playoff stages before. They beat Hearts 5-0 away from home in 2011 and beat Dynamo Tbilisi 5-0 in 2013. That was before Sherwood took over. So, you know, they used to going away, this group of players used to going away and getting the job done, not conceding. AEL, interesting that the two players who they've lost in the summer, Montero scored 18 goals last year and Orlando Sarr scored 13, both gone.
Okay.
So, you know, they've lost a lot of goals and haven't really replaced them. One to keep a watch out for is the Brazilian Cassio.
Is that as good as it's going to get? Am I in for this for the next 7 or 8 months?
Awful, isn't it? They've also got a Polish striker called Lukas Gikiewicz. He scored in the 1-0 win over Zenit. Now, the Zenit game is interesting. They lost 3-0 in Champions League qualifier. Lost 3-0 in Russia and beat Zenit at home. That win against Zenit is the only game that Zenit have lost this season, AVB's new team.
Okay.
They beat one team 8-1 in Russia. They've been flying, Hulk and etc. all scoring goals. Now, Zenit did have 13 shots off target and a man sent off in that game at AEL, but they still won it 1-0 AEL. So, you know, the Cypriot team, you know, you have to look a bit deeper into these things, but, you know, maybe that's what they'll do. They'll just try and shut up shop, you know, and maybe take some shots from Tottenham. I don't think Tottenham will be quite as, you know, gung-ho as Zenit were, maybe. But, you know, I can see Tottenham, you know, doing what they've done so far, which is keeping it tight, keeping a clean sheet and trying to hit on the break. You know, under Pochettino, it was hard to get a grasp on what they were like this weekend because the man got sent off so early. But, you know, they're going to play the same way he had his Southampton team playing. You know, passing the ball well, pressure the team when they've got the ball, get it back as quick as possible, and then, you know, and mount some attacks.
He's trying to instill this philosophy where they play from minute one to minute 90, minute 95, as he said in his post-match press conference. And I'm sure it instills belief in the players as well, because he's coming with new ideas, and it looks as if from a personnel perspective, they've bought into those ideas as well. Recording this on a Monday afternoon, Lee, so full range of markets not yet available time of recording. So I'm sensing that you'd be looking low on the goals here.
Yeah, I would be, because I don't think they've got the goals in them, AEL, at the moment. I think going on what Tottenham have done in previous seasons, I'd be confident in a Tottenham win. 4-9's a bit short, if I'm being honest. I'm not mad keen on that. Your goal scorers, you've got the likes of Harry Kane at even money, Soldado and Adebayor, 8-11, 5-6, or 5-6 Soldado, 8-11 Adebayor. Bit short, really. Not mad keen on that, to be honest with you. I'd be looking at just going for Tottenham to win and over 2.5 goals in this one, just because that's what they do generally at this stage.
Over 2.5
yeah,
goals.
Over 2.5. Okay. I know what you mean, but I just think I don't think AEL will score. But I think if Tottenham get a couple early on, they could run riot. And that's what they do. You know, AEL aren't anything to write home about. It's a nice little break going to Cyprus at this time of year, isn't it, for the players? You know, and you just come off pre-season. And they always seem to do that. I don't know if we've got that market as we speak now, because we've only got limited markets, as you said. But yeah, I'd think they'd get the job done in the end. As for goal scorers, if I had to pick one, I'd probably be looking at Eriksen. I think cracking player, 13-8 in this kind of match, it would suit him down to the ground. Again, you know, going away to European teams, I think anyone breaking from midfield is well worth a bet, because you know defenders can look after the centre forwards, as we said in one of the previous previews. At the minute we've got like anytime reverse wing cast, and you know the loose cast, as we've termed it on In Play Radio.
Not allowed to say lose.
No, but that top one there, 7-1 for Lukas Gikiewicz to score and Tottenham to win at 7-1. Decent. You know, like I said, he's already scored in that 1-0 win over Zenit. So if he got a consolation, I could see that. It's not a bad price, to be honest.
Lokeren versus Hull is the evening match in the Europa League on Thursday night, involving an English team. Lokeren 7-4, the draw 23-10. Hull in the betting at 6-4. Good win for Hull at the weekend. Went to QPR and won 1-0. Mentioning experience being a positive for QPR in the lead up to the new season. Rio Ferdinand lost James Chester for the goal. It was his fault. That was a game that, one of the Premier League games where QPR were well on top as well in that game. Fortunate to get the win, Hull, but great start for them. 1-0 winners at QPR. You can see those two being involved in a prolonged relegation battle at some point there.
Yeah, I got that one wrong. I thought QPR would win that game, to be honest with you. I mean, they had the chance to do it, didn't they? But, it's a funny side, aren't they? I didn't expect them to go to QPR and get a win. They went away in the first Europa League game and got a 0-0 draw against Trentsin. Should have won that game. They had a penalty that was missed and they had a couple of other chances. I think they'll go away to Lokeren, who were sixth in the Belgian Pro League, and try and get I think they'd be delighted if they took a 0-0 back to East Yorkshire. You know, obviously anything better than that, superb, but I think that's how they're set up. They're set up, you know, with five men in midfield in that previous away game and just hit them on the break. Could work for Hull, though, this time, because the thing about Lokeren is that they're an attacking kind of team. They only 2-0s at home last season for Lokeren, and they weren't board draws either. They were, you know, double figure shots on goal, just happened to be one of those games where it finished 0-0 with the respective opposition. So I think Hull will go there and keep it tight and, you know, try and bring them back and then beat them. But again, you know, I think Lokeren 7-4 is a tempting price, really. It's almost like they're priced up like, oh yeah, they're no hopers. They've got some decent goal scorers. They have lost their top scorer from last season. Hamdi Ahaboa scored 17 goals. He's gone out to the Qatar Stars League, I think, so obviously some money had been thrown around and they've lost him. They brought in a player called Mbai Lei, not really guaranteed that kind of return judging by his previous clubs. They've got a player called Bezart Abdurimi, a Macedonian winger who's already scored goals, and Dutra is the other one who he tends to score for them. He's 19-10. I think these prices, DK, you know, this is a home, it's a team who like to attack, who like to score goals. Whether they win or not, I think these prices, like 19-10, Dutra, Mbai Lei 2-1, Desers is another player who can score goals, 23-10. Already mentioned Abdurimi, 13-5. It's priced up like they don't know who they are.
So yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Because when you compare those sorts of prices to the prices in the Tottenham game. I know Tottenham are a lot shorter at 4-9 to win that match, but only one guy under 2-1 here in the anytime goal scorer markets. It's just whether or not you think Lochran pose a threat to Hull.
Yeah, I think they can score goals. You know, I don't see why. You know, Hull will go there very well. You know, very well drilled defensive. I just think the fact that Lochran will attack means that it won't be as tight a match as Hull would like. I think it'll open up. You know, Hull could easily win it, but I think again, I think there'll be goals in this one because of the style of play that Lochran will employ. They go for it and they like to score goals. So, you know, over 2.5 would be a shout here. I think we're struggling with that market at the minute, aren't we? We've still got, you know, limited markets to record this on Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't have thought it'd be that short, to be honest with you. The way the match is priced up, I think you're going to get around even money for that. It might be 10 to 11, but I think you'll get a decent price for over 2.5. As for goal scorers, I like Dutra at the top of the market there for Hull. Jelovic, yeah, I mean, not a prolific scorer. I really like Jelovic, but doesn't, you know, he seems to miss a lot more than he should. Elsewhere, Aluko always pops up with a goal, 11 to 5. Sagbo's the same sort of price. Snodgrass, 13 to 5. There's plenty there, but yeah, I'd rather stick with the home team, Lochran, and go for their goal scorer.
And it is worth noting that Lochran, albeit don't have a fantastic European Cup pedigree, they've got a decent record in recent times in the Belgian Cup. They've won it two of the last three years.
Yeah.
So clearly a team that focus on the Cup. The one thing that's a negative for me is the last time they were in the Europa League, they went out tamely to Victoria Plzeň, which would be a concern, but... Hull, having seen Hull on Saturday, Lee, they're going to struggle this season, I think.
They'll be organised, won't they?
Yeah.
You know, and you wonder, you know, how much they're going for. I'm sure they'll love it. You know, one of our colleagues here at William Hill, he's going out there for the party, going to Belgium. I said, oh, you know, how do you think the season will go? He went, I'm not bothered. I'm just looking forward to going to Belgium next week for a bit of a knees up with the mates.
Nice.
So, you know, that's what it is, isn't it? You know, so the crowd will have a good crowd behind them, Hull. Easy to get to from Hull, obviously. You just get the ferry over, can't you?
You can.
Zeebrugge, and then, you know, get across, hire a car. Great little trip. One thing I meant to say about the Celtic game, very quickly,
yes.
I know it's going back over, is that, you know, obviously they've sold Fraser Forster. They've brought in Craig Gordon, who used to be a goalkeeper at Sunderland, retired from the game in 2012. He had lots of serious injuries. He was like, you know, it looked like he was on the verge of becoming the next Scotland keeper back then.
Yeah, he was touted as...
Yeah, and he won the save of the year one season at Sunderland, when he was playing at Sunderland. So he retired from the game, considered going to coaching, trained with Celtic, just thought, I'll give it another go, and then ended up being their first choice keeper.
Nice.
So he only played his first competitive games in the two Scottish Premiership games. It's his first trip abroad, you know, for years. You know, he's playing in a bit of an unfamiliar place for Celtic. So I wonder, I mean, he's a very good keeper, but I wonder, you know, that going back to that match, if that's another reason why Celtic might concede, if he's a little bit nervy or if he's not quite, you know, up to match fitness against Maribor. Just an intriguing one. I thought he was a great goalkeeper. I wonder where he'd gone.
I think Maribor... they
sound like Haribo.
They do.
Always reminds me of Haribo.
I think there could be a... Speaking of retiring, any more gags like that, I might retire from this podcast.
Not really. I might. You've only done three.
Maribor 9-5 looks a good price. And so, obviously, I'm quite new to this podcast. Mm. You talk about the naps just on a Thursday or a Friday whenever you record the weekend podcast. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we'll come back to the naps
today. We don't really do a nap on this one.
No.
My favourite bet, though, it revolves around just looking at those scorers in the Maribor game. The fact that there's so many in that anytime goal scorer list who haven't been playing or kids means that I would be looking at that value on Ibrahimi, 3-4 so far. So I think him to score a goal would be my favourite bet.
Thanks, Lee. And just looking through, I like Maribor 9-5, as mentioned. That Arsenal headline offer, I think if you're playing Arsenal 8-11, Ramsey to score and Arsenal to win at 5-1.
Looks good.
Wouldn't put anyone off that. Thank you for listening to the Punt Podcast. Remember, you can get us on Audioboo as well. Just search William Hill and download the podcast on iTunes. And we've now embedded Audioboo onto the William Hill website as well, so it's available in better audio quality. Tips, as ever, remain the same. Thank you for listening to the podcast this week, and we'll be back for all the Premier League action at the weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.